Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Family Law on the CW Sunday night is exactly what the title suggests. It's about a family of lawyers involved in family law cases. Creator and executive producer Susan Nielsen joins me next from Canada. Also ahead, News No Quickies and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, speaker and tune-in radio. I'm presenting on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and other leading podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. 64 sunny degrees here in the New York metro area. And we welcome you on this Friday to our third of three episodes this week for the program All About TV's Current and Future. Got another great opening guest for you today. It's been a real treat this week. We had on Monday Chris Covenor from Netflix's Revival of the Mole. Yesterday, Don Mancini from Chucky. We've already got a lot of good feedback on that episode yesterday. And we have another great one to open things up today. And if you have a question or comment for our lead guest, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. Another way you can get involved, our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while our program is on the air, you can communicate with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn screen, while the instructions are doing me live with you. Susan Nielsen from Family Law on the CW Sunday nights will join us from Pender Island, Canada, after these news notes. Today, it's all quickies. Season 5 of The Crown finally arrives on Netflix November 9th. That's later than originally planned, that the series could honor the memory of Queen Elizabeth II, who passed away last month. Another Netflix tidbit, Supernatural series Warrior Nun will begin its Supernatural sophomore season before the end of 2022. What will Joe McHale do after co-starring in Peacock's community revival movie that we talked about a couple weeks ago? He's going to play a workplace officer in the upcoming Fox comedy series, Animal Control. And House of the Dragon and Game of Thrones writer Sarah Hess gets a two-year extension on her HBO management. HBO arrangement. Hess will continue writing and executive producing House, going into its second season, probably late next year or 2024 at the latest. Plus, she'll develop new content, and that is news notes for today. Sunday night is becoming Canada procedural night on the CW. First up is Family Law from Entertainment One, which, as I mentioned at the top, is about a group of family lawyers doing family law cases. And the other show is Coroner, which has been on CW before. I believe it's now in its second season. Family Law is at 8 p.m. Eastern Time and Pacific, and Coroner follows at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Some of the stars, by the way, on Family Law include Jewel Staite from Firefly, and someone who I have watched his career blossom all over the place, from Godspell, St. Jesus Christ, very underrated movie, to Titanic playing the ship owner, and more recently, DC's Legend of Tomorrow, also on the CW. Joining us live from Pender Island, Canada, is the creator and executive producer, Susan Nielsen. Susan, great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Simon.
It is a pleasure. How did this series come to be?
Well, it came to be, you know, my own family background, I suppose, is slightly similar to Abigail's. Our lead, Abigail, has been estranged from her father for 33 years. And something really awful happens in the very first episode. She's a personal injury lawyer. A video goes viral of some very bad behavior. She's disciplined by the law society, and the only way she can practice law is if a senior lawyer in town will take her on. And the only one who's willing to take her on is Vancouver's top family lawyer, who happens to be her estranged father. And when she starts at the firm, she also has to work with her half-brother and her half-sibling from Harry's two subsequent marriages. So my own family background, I didn't meet my father until I was a teenager. And at the same time, I met my half-brother and my half-sister. Now, my dad only remarried once, not twice. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, I think a lot of writers, you know, have a sort of origin story that they probably play with a lot in their work. And I think that, you know, I've probably gotten a lot of mileage out of my own family story. And that was sort of the crux of it, I suppose. I just thought that it was a great premise for somebody having to go and, you know, deal with all sorts of complex family issues while trying to work with the family that she never knew herself and harbors a lot of resentment toward.
It sounds, Susan, like it's a dysfunctional family trying to be functional when it comes to the practice of family law.
Yeah, we say it's one dysfunctional family helping other dysfunctional families. And, you know, I think we can probably all relate to the idea of dysfunctional families to some degree or other.
When you define family law, what kind of cases are we talking about here?
We really run the gamut. I mean, we've had a couple episodes there already. You know, one is about a Down syndrome couple who is at risk of losing their unborn child. We have an episode about a man who wants his wife removed from a particular memory care facility. And really, it's a love story. A boy who wants to emancipate from his parents because they won't accept that he's gay. We've got an anti-vaxxer story coming up this season, which I suspect will get us a lot of heat, that we wrote pre-COVID, actually. I mean, the stories really run the gamut. I think that what they all share in common is, you know, families are complicated, right? And people have different points of view, and nobody's point of view is necessarily wrong. We always try to be as kind as possible to, you know, the various points of view, although, of course, we come down on perhaps, you know, we have our own biases as well. But I think that what all of the stories have in common is that they are exceedingly human. And there are elements to each story that even if you haven't experienced that particular issue, there's a lot of universality in those issues. You know, parents wanting to protect their children, whether or not it's wrongheaded, you know. I'll stop there.
Yeah. Are they ripped from the headlines a la Law and Order?
Some of them are, definitely. Some we have gotten ripped from the headlines. Others are oddly, come from interesting places. For example, the episode about a husband whose wife has early onset Alzheimer's, and she's been put into what's called a memory care home. And that idea came out of an article I read in the New Yorker about memory care homes, a reasonably new way of dealing with Alzheimer's patients, excuse me. And there wasn't a law story there by any stretch of the imagination, but the incredible human emotional elements of that story, we just started talking about it in the room and tried to figure out how can we build a case around this? So that's often what happens too is, you know, we'll sometimes just read, I mean, sometimes, you know, very bizarre stories too, or very small stories, but that just have that human element or the conflict between, you know, like I'll read all the columns in the New York Times, the ethicist and social cues. And sometimes there'll be something in one of those that just triggers a notion. And then we start to build on it.
Susan Nielsen is our guest this half hour on the Moabi Televised, joining us live from Pender Island in Canada. The show is Family Law. It comes from Canada with the fine folks at Entertainment One producing it. They're the folks that also do The Rookie and The Rookie Feds, both on ABC. And Susan joins us live there on Tomorrow Be Televised. By the way, Family Law runs Sunday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, followed by another great Canadian procedural show, Coroner, which is at 9 o'clock Eastern Pacific Time. And by the way, Family Law, where does that run in Canada?
It runs on Global, which is owned by Corus.
Great. Good, good, good network. And if you have a question or comment for Susan, the rest of this half hour, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Third of three episodes we're doing this week. As I mentioned, we had Chris Covenor from Netflix's The Mole on our show Monday, and then we let off a great hour Thursday with Don Mancini from Chucky, which is simulcast now Wednesday nights on USA Network and Sci-Fi. If you've missed those episodes, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, or go to our podcast locations like Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. By the way, next week, we will not be on Monday because of a personal health matter, but we will be on Friday of next week. So be sure to join us with our next episode Friday. And coming up shortly, our classic trivia question of the week. We're looking for our newest winner. It can be you if you know the answer to this very classic a classic trivia question. How much did you want the main characters to be like your family? For example, Jewel being being you, and then Victor Garber being your father.
Well, oh my God, I should point out that I love my dad very much. I think that what do I have in common with Abby? I mean, Jewel, first of all, Jewel State is unbelievable, and she has made that character completely her own, as you said in your introduction. I mean, Victor Garber is unbelievable. So I think, I would say probably what I share in common with Abby, for better or for worse, I definitely share her acerbic sense of humor, the sarcasm, sometimes the potty humor, I suppose. In terms of the relationship with Harry, I mean, I think what I could really tap into is, I think especially when you're young, and Abby was 7 when he left, you carry a lot of that emotional betrayal, for better or for worse, for right or for wrong. You do carry a lot of that into your adult life. And so, and sometimes Abby, can behave very immaturely. I would say that's something else I share in common with her. In terms of, Harry being like my father, my goodness. I think my father is probably a little more emotionally accessible than Harry, but I do think they're both products of their time. I think Harry probably thinks he's done an adequate job with his children. I think he thinks, he has certainly provided for them financially, but certainly as the series goes on, I think what you see is that, all of those children bear different scars from having Harry as their father, but he's a product of his time. I think for many people, certainly of my generation, and I think I'm 58, and I think also a little bit younger, and I mean, I'm sure still lots of people today, I think a lot of us can relate to those somewhat emotionally distant fathers, right? And my dad was a product of his time and, was one of, like 4 boys with a very real strong patriarch at the head of that family. So expressing emotion and being emotionally available and, thinking that it might not be a bad idea to reach out to your daughter during her first 16 years of life, probably didn't occur to him. So and I don't think it occurred to Harry at a certain point either,
Yeah, speaking of Victor Garber, who plays Harry, he has had an incredible career. Does he ever still talk about how he got his first big break in Godspell, playing Jesus Christ in that movie?
Well, I had the great honor of going out for dinner with him a couple of months ago when we were still shooting our third season. And I I picked his brain as much as felt, you know, appropriate, I suppose. And he did tell me a little bit about that journey toward toward Godspell. And there were lots of things that I didn't know. I mean, initially he wanted to be a singer. He wanted to be a folk singer. And he moved to Toronto to play in the coffee houses in Yorkville, which was like where all the hippies hung out in the 60s. I could talk to him endlessly about his career. And what's so beautiful is that one of the things he said is that when his first dream was folk singer, his second dream was to be on Broadway. And when he was cast in Godspell, he felt like all of his dreams had come true. And he says, everything after that has been gravy. And I think he feels just exceptionally lucky. I love him very much. He's a very, he's just a very decent, hilarious, also acerbic human being.
And his gallery of performances, Godspell and beyond, has been really remarkable in starring roles, co-starring roles, and so forth. Incidentally, if you've never seen Godspell, Turner Classic Movies here in the United States runs it very rarely, but see it. It's one of the best musical adaptations for film, and it's also one of the best musical adaptations produced in New York. It really showcases New York in a huge way. And, of course, Stephen Schwartz, that marvelous score with songs like Day by Day, All Good Things, et cetera, et cetera. It's still one of the best scores for a Broadway musical or a off-Broadway musical.
That's amazing. And you know what? I have to confess, I have never seen the movie. So now I'm going to try to find it. And I can tell you, I pinch myself still that Victor Garber agreed to do our show.
When Don Mancini was on our show yesterday, I asked him, that when you pick your writers and directors for Chucky, do you want them to all be in your neighborhood, namely horror films or horror television series, or do you want variety, people in science fiction or people in comedy or dramedies? When you assembled your writing and your directing teams, did you all want them to be lawyers, or at least some of them be lawyers or have legal backgrounds, or did you want a wide variety of writer backgrounds or directing backgrounds?
I definitely wanted a wide variety. And, you know, I'm slightly ashamed to tell you that none of my writers have a law background, which could have been, you know, really helpful. But we have amazing consultants on our show, a practicing family lawyer in Vancouver named Stephanie Fabro. If anybody's listening in Vancouver, and God forbid you're going through a divorce, I would recommend Stephanie Fabro. So we do have amazing consultants, and we have a family, retired family court judge consultant. But in terms of the writers, I was certainly looking for people with skill sets that didn't necessarily match my own. I have not really written in my career very many procedurals, so I needed somebody who is very, very solid. I mean, our show, yes, it's a procedural, but our family stories are at least as weighty as the procedural. But I needed somebody who knew procedural, and so that's where Sarah Dodd came in, who's kind of like my right-hand woman in the story department. She's got loads of experience in procedural. I wanted, you know, people with, you know, just completely different backgrounds from my own, different ages, a mostly female department. But I needed people who brought skills in that I didn't have. You know, I needed people who, for example, I didn't feel that I ever quite had Daniel's voice down as well as I had some of the women's voices. And so it was very important for me to get a very strong male writer in the room who could also help with that, which isn't to say that women can't write strong male characters. Of course they can, and vice versa. So yeah, really looking for diversification. One of my writers, he would just love to be working, I think, in horror and sci-fi, but he loves the human element of our show and the comedy. I mean, I think that's the thing about Family Law too, is that there is a lot of humor in our show. You know, we try to make you laugh and we try to make you cry in one episode. And so finding people who could also walk that balance was really important as well.
Mm-hmm. Family Law kicks off Sunday nights on the CW, available on CW television stations like WPX-TV here in New York, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. It is also running in Season 3 on the Global Television Network in Canada. And we've got Susan Nielsen, the creator and executive producer of the program, live from Pender Island, Canada, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. If you have a question or comment in many minutes with Susan, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple041. And coming up before we leave you, our classic trivia question of the week, and boy, it is a classic trivia question. If you know the answer, email me, and if you're first with the correct answer, you will win a trio of prizes, including AMC Network's new notepad and notepad case. Susan, what do you think about the overall Canadian drama series environment? It seems that really over the last 10, 15 years, it's really come into its own with shows like yours, shows like Flashpoint, Transplant, all shows that have a human condition. While they may be classified as procedural, they all have a bit of the human condition in what they do.
Yeah, I think we make incredible shows here in Canada, and what we're always up against in Canada is that first of all, we live next to a behemoth like the United States, where so many amazing shows come out of the United States. And so, our broadcasters are mandated to make a certain amount of Canadian television. And, I don't know how political I want to get, but generally speaking, they make the bare minimum of what they have to make. And so, I often feel like certainly Canadian writers, creators are up against that. But I think we proved time and time again that when a show does get greenlit and, we can run with our vision, we can make something really good. And certainly we've been very lucky with our show, with the Global Television Network, that we have some, incredible advocates for our show at that network, which is terrific.
And you also have some wonderful production companies that are really making their mark out of Canada. The rest of the world, like Entertainment One, Boat Rocker Media, who we've covered. We had the executives from that organization on the show. They're doing the new Orphan Black series for AMC Networks. So there's some very exciting
stuff. Cool.
Plus, you have the mega content sort of like Netflix, which are now doing shows out of Canada. Like, for example, a couple of years ago, they had the Anne of Green Gables revival. That was quite good.
Yes, that's right. And now Amazon Prime is doing a show called The Lake, which our Lauren Holly, who's in Family Law, she, I believe, is guest starring in their new season, or not guest starring. I think she's a recurring character. But we are on the ground producers at 724, based out of Calgary, Lark Productions in Vancouver. They're fabulous. And E1's been doing a great job at, selling the show internationally, too.
Mm-hmm. Way back when, you were involved in one of the all-time great Canadian-produced series, the opening season of Degrassi, which has been a part of Canada, a part of the United States for decades. What was it like to be one of the groundbreakers in having really one of the great children's teenage young people television series?
Yeah, well, I did already tell my age, so yes, because it was way back when. That was my first job in television. They did not hire me to write that first season. So they had done, at that point, Linda Schuyler, had done The Kids of Degrassi Street. And then they were doing this show called Degrassi Junior High, and I pedaled my bike over to the company called Playing with Time, and they hired me, but they hired me to do craft services, which meant I was feeding the cast and crew muffins, coffee, and sandwiches. And I was really, really terrible at that job. And so bad that the kids wrote a poem to me at the end. They published like a Degrassi yearbook at the end of each season, and the kids wrote a poem, an ode to Susan, the bran muffin queen, we eat them, we die, then we turn green. But I was always writing. I loved writing. I was always trying my hand at writing short stories, and I was trying to write screenplays. And so in between first and second season, I wrote a spec script for the show. And I mean, looking back, I think I was so bold. I think I just didn't know any better. And I brought it to the head writer, Jan Moore, and I said, well, hey, would you just read this and tell me what you think? And, you know, at that point, Degrassi was actually a non-union show, so they couldn't hire the qualified writers in our Writers Guild of Canada. So, you know, he read it, and he said, I don't think this is very good at all, but I see a spark in your writing. And they gave me a shot at writing an episode. And so the first episode I wrote, I guess, would have been in season two. And it was the episode where Caitlin finds out she has epilepsy. And then from there, they just kept giving me scripts. And so I wrote 16 episodes of Degrassi Junior High and High. And, you know, it's funny. I guess it was probably at some point when we were shooting season two and season one was airing. I can't quite remember, but like, we didn't know that this was going to become a worldwide phenomenon, right? Nobody knew. I just remember there were points when we all were looking at each other and thinking, holy cow. And I mean, it just kept on growing. I mean, and there's still a Degrassi on TV now, I believe, so.
And it's still one of the only television series that made the move from public television to commercial television on cable through networks like Nickelodeon, Teen Nick, and so forth to do that. Before you go, obviously CW is running the first season of Family Law. Do we know if they're going to run any second or third season episodes?
Well, what I know is that they bought season two. So I'm assuming they're going to air season two. That is the extent of my knowledge. And in fact, I mean, season two hasn't yet aired in Canada either. I believe it's starting to air in January. So perhaps CW and Global will be running it, you know, at around the same time, season two.
Nice idea, U.S. Canadian simulcast.
I know, that would be great. Mm-hmm. I don't know if CW and Global can simulcast. I don't really know how that works, but you probably know better than I do.
Well, they can certainly try to schedule it the same hour, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
In the meantime,
they
can certainly do it. And speaking of scheduling, remember, the Family Law runs on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on CW stations, like WPX here in New York. Kick your logo to the CW station in your area. Don't forget Coronor, another popular show from Canada, is also on at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. For more details about the show online, both shows online, go to CWTV.com at CWTV.com. And remember, you can also find, for those in Canada, Family Law on the Global Television Network, which looks like they're going to run season two early 2023. Susan Nielsen, creator, executive producer of Family Law, thank you for coming aboard. It was great to have you, and all the very best to you and your cast and crew for many more seasons of this very dysfunctional and very functional series.
Thank you so much, Simon. It was really a pleasure.
Pleasure's ours too, Susan. Take care. Have a fantastic weekend.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Susan Nielsen joining us live from Pender Island, Canada, exclusively here this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Before we leave you, let's give you our classic trivia question that we kicked off this past Monday. And when I say classic trivia question, it is a classic of classic trivia questions. And here's the question. What was Joe Friday's first partner on Dragnet? It wasn't Ben Alexander playing Frank Smith. It was somebody else for a very short period of time for a number of reasons. We're talking about the original 1950s black and white series that ran on NBC. So if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And we will take either for an answer the actor's name or the character's name. If you want to give us both, that's fine too. But the first person who gives us that answer will win a trio of great prizes, like the wonderful book Flirting with Fame by the great Hollywood PR guru Dan Harary, Tune In Tomorrow by Randy Dawn, both were recent TWBD guests, and the AMC Network Notepad with great Notepad Case 2. Again, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you're a previous winner or guest, you're not eligible. And if we don't get a winner by end of today, we will post a question tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter UBC Simon, TWBT. However you get in, do so. And all the very best. Again, thank you to all of our guests this week for a really, really great time, including Susan Nielsen, today's opening guest from the series Family Law on the CW. We will not be with you on Monday because of a special personal health issue I got to take care of. But we will be back on Friday, so stay in touch with our Facebook and Twitter feeds, and we'll tell you who that our guest will be as ASAP as possible on Monday, as is possible between Monday and Friday. And remember, if you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. blogtalkradio.com/televised. And remember, in a few moments, we have the podcast coming away of this very episode and our other two episodes this past Monday and Thursday. Go to Amazon Music with Vizio Smart TV sets, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, it's podcast.google.com, as well as our website, tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. It's tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. Love to hear from you, so email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Also, you can find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Facebook and LinkedIn is Simon Applebaum. Twitter, again, at UBC Simon, TWT. However you communicate, we communicate back with you. Our pledge is within 24 hours or less, and that's our pledge we make gladly because what you say matters about the world of TV now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Any show is VTR's general manager, AJ Sonnenberg, is head of content. Website supervised by On Podium, the internet's new podcast outpost. Guitar Vegas is our web coordinator. For Tomorrow We Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a fantastic week whenever you're listening to us in the U.S. and Canada and all around the world on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune, and Radio. We'll be back next Friday, 1 week from today, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune, and Radio, and all of our podcast destinations and websites. Whatever you're doing between now and next Friday, please make it safe, sound, and great. If you haven't been vaccinated in either country, check in with your doctor. Find out what alternative treatments are available to you besides boosters and shots. And then remember, alternative treatments, many of them are now available at pharmacies, and they're available without a prescription and, in many cases, free of charge. So get to your doctor and find out what's going on, and then make a great choice and make sure it is your choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.